Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Again, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to do a little meddling today in people's lives and get down to some rubber meets the road type of applications of this word sanctification.
No preaching, just meddling. Huh?
Just meddling. That's exactly right. You know, some folks may put on some steel boot shoes. We may be stepping on some toes as well. But we're going to look at a passage in 1 Thessalonians, and I think it's a key passage, especially in our day and age. You know, sexuality is such a casual thing today. We see it on television. It's just presented as a very common thing. It's lost its sense of sacredness in our society today. But when we get to the word sanctification, there's some very clear admonitions and encouragements in the Word of God on how we should see sexual immorality in culture today and within our own lives. So here's what Paul had to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now that's the NIV. The King James Version puts it this way: for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Well, we know that if we're in Christ, we have been sanctified. We have been set apart for God's use. So that's how God created us, to walk in dependence upon Him, to abide in Him, and to allow His life to be lived through us. So this sanctifying work of the Spirit enables that to happen. That's the point, that we've been sanctified, to set apart to be used by God. So that is the will of God, our sanctification. Then Paul goes on to say that you should avoid sexual immorality. The King James Version puts it that you should abstain from fornication. So you've been set apart from that old way of life so that you could make your body available to the living Christ. That's what this is all about. Our body isn't to be used to engage in sexual immorality, to marginalize others, to look at others as simply sexual objects. Right. We're to see them in terms of the love of God. Mm-hmm. And if we see them in terms of the love of God, then we can allow God to use us to direct that love toward them in a very uplifting and encouraging way. So God hasn't called us to a life of sexual immorality. That's what He's freed us from. That's what He set us apart from. Now, He goes on to write some other things for us, that each of us should learn to control our own bodies in a way that is holy and honorable. So we should use our bodies in a way that matches the truth of what God has already accomplished in our lives, the fact that He has set us apart. He has made us holy. So we should use our bodies in line with that truth. So we should use our bodies in a holy and honorable way, not in passionate lust like the pagans. So there's a contrast here. There's the lifestyle of the pagan world, and certainly the Roman Empire. They had a motto: do everything in excess. And that's how they lived, everything in excess. Moderation was not a part of their vocabulary. They just went for it, and just, you know, as much as they could do, then they took it a step further and did more. I mean, even at their theaters, these big amphitheaters things, they would have rooms in the back called vomitoriums.
Exactly.
So people would eat till the full, they'd go throw up and then eat more and do it over and over and over. The same was true as far as sexual immorality was concerned. A lot of the Roman gods, the Greek gods, all tied to sexual immorality. And so they were saying, Paul is saying, you've been set apart from that culture. You've been set apart from that way of life. Now use your body in an honorable way, not a dishonorable way. So we should learn to control our bodies, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. That's the key.
Yeah.
You've been set apart, and because you've been set apart, you know God. The rest of the world doesn't know God, but you know God. So allow that knowledge of God to shape your thinking on this area called sexual immorality. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. Now he says that the Lord is an avenger in all such matters. The NIV, and I hate this translation, it says the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins. That is such a bad translation, and the NIV translation committee needs to change it, because that's not what the Greek says. The Greek says that no man should go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such things. It's a description of the Lord's work. He will intervene. He will come to somebody's rescue. He will step in and move a person in a different direction. That's how the Lord avenges these things. So it's a poor translation that the NIV puts on that about punishment. But he goes on to say, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. That's what we've been set apart to do, to live a holy life. What does that holy life look like? As we talked about yesterday and the day before, it looks a lot like love.
Yeah.
Well, you can't engage in sexual immorality and be loving the person that you're engaging in sexual immorality with. You're treating them as an object. You're marginalizing them. You are not dignifying them as the human being that they are. So love is going to lift that person up. Love is going to encourage that person. Love is going to treat that person for who they are, someone created in the image of God. That's how love acts in those situations. So that's what a holy life looks like. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So we've been set apart by the blood of Christ through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and God's Spirit is always going to be working in us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness, especially in this area called sexual immorality.
Right. Well, friends, I want to remind you that we have open lines right now. If you'd like to enter the conversation, you can do that by calling 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you, friends, of a couple of June speaking engagements that will feature Bob Christopher. For our Northern California friends, Bob will be at the Alliance Redwood Conference Center for the mandated men's retreat. That's going to be June 3rd through the 5th. And, of course, that's not much more than a week away, maybe just a week away, but there's still time to register under the events tab at basicgospel.net. Now, also, Bob will be speaking at the June Jubilee hosted by Graceway Fellowship in Plainfield, Indiana. That's going to be June 25th and 26th. Again, just click events at basicgospel.net. All the information is right there. Hope you'll take the opportunity to come and meet my buddy, Bob Christopher.
Yes, indeed. I'm really looking forward to these great opportunities in East Coast, West Coast, and can't wait to meet the folks that are going to be there and really share in this grace of God together.
Yeah.
It's a marvelous time to fellowship. We have this life that we've been given in Christ. We've been added to the body of Christ, so we are fellow members together, one with another. And so to be able to share that in these particular settings, I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, again, just click the events tab at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to Brad. Hi, Brad.
How y'all doing today?
Doing okay.
Or yesterday. One of our callers yesterday.
Hey, Brad, let me interrupt you. If you're on your speakerphone, would you pick up the receiver? Because we're having a little trouble hearing you.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Thanks.
One of our callers yesterday called in, Bob, and he was agreeing with everything that was said, but then here came the big but. He talked about having to put, it really was hard to put forth effort. And, you know, that's just such a mixed message. I was looking at some scripture today, Luke 9:23. It's the only place in scripture in the gospel accounts that talks about denying oneself and taking up their cross and following him, you know, daily. And most, a lot of Christians believe that everything written in the New Testament from Matthew all the way through Revelation was speaking to just believers. This particular scripture was talking to the disciples.
Yeah, well, let me jump in on that and share a little bit of what that actually is talking about, because there are a lot of Christians that live by this verse. You know, they think they have to deny themselves daily, take up their cross daily, and follow Jesus daily. But really, I think this is more of a salvation passage. Jesus is predicting his death in this particular context, and he's saying, if you really want to be a disciple of mine, then you're going to have to go through that same death, burial, and resurrection. You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And he really explains that as he goes on and says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. So it's really talking about a salvation passage. So once we've come to Christ, as Paul talks about and the other writers of the New Testament talk about, we have died in Christ. We have been co-crucified with Christ, and we have been buried with Christ, and we have been raised to walk in the newness with Christ. So we're already on the other side of this particular passage. We've already been raised to walk in the newness of life with Jesus Christ. And so how do we do that? By faith. So that's our mandate. That's our call on our lives as believers, as new covenant believers, to simply walk by faith in the resurrected one. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this new life that we've been called to live is a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our mandate. So I like to keep it simple, don't like to complicate it, because as soon as you say you need to deny yourself and take up your cross daily, you're going to have questions. Well, what does that look like? Well, and most of the answers to that are long lists of do's and don'ts. You need to do this, and you don't need to do that. Well, that becomes just a new form of legalism. So we have to realize, I think, that this is a passage that really addresses the salvation issue, that we had an old life, and if we really want to gain eternal life, we're going to have to let go of that old and embrace what Christ has given us through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah. So, Brad, good to hear from you as always, and we have open lines right now for you at 844-322-2742, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Frederick, Maryland, and talk to Opal, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Opal.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
I didn't get to hear the verse. I don't remember the verse you just said clearly, but what was on my mind was, I'm a little confused. You said the NIV version stated that God punished, but you gave the Greek translation, but I don't remember it verbatim. So my real question is that saying, is it wrong? Based on what you just said, are you saying that God doesn't punish, or he does punish, but he's just more focused on intervening on our behalf when a wrong needs to be righted or fixed or whatever that case may be?
Well, Opal, sin does not go unpunished. But here's the good news. Jesus came down, and he became one of us, and he stood in our place, and he took the punishment we deserved. So, Opal, the punishment for all of your sins has already been given out, and Jesus was the recipient. He turned aside the wrath of God that was directed toward you, and he took that himself. So your sins have been punished, haven't they?
Yeah.
Is that good news?
Not too convinced, are
yeah,
you,
that's
Opal?
That's good news.
Yeah. So because they've been punished, now you can receive forgiveness. So when you come to Christ, you receive forgiveness of sins. So all of your sins have already been judged. All of your sins have already been punished in Christ. Christ took that. When the Bible says, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins. Well, that's exactly what it means, that he took the punishment that we justly deserved. And as a result of that, we are made righteous and holy and perfect in God's sight. And talk about good news, it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No.
Okay. So God isn't going to punish us for our sins. And here's another aspect of that that we need to know. If God were to punish us for our sins, what would that punishment be? And the Bible only gives one answer. The wages of sin is death. So if we were to be punished for our sins, it would be eternal death. Well, Jesus has shed blood on the cross, took that punishment for us so that we could actually experience eternal life. Okay, so we have to understand that. The punishment of sin is death. Jesus took that punishment for us. He died in our place so that we could receive life everlasting. So what happens when we sin today as believers? Well, God is always disciplining us, isn't he?
And, right,
and,
yeah.
And that discipline is constant. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week reality. We're always under the discipline of God. And to be disciplined simply means to be trained in the ways of righteousness. So that's what God is constantly doing us, training us in the ways of righteousness so that we can follow exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that we could use our bodies in holy ways instead of engaging them in sexual immorality. So as we are being disciplined by the Lord through his word, and that's just simply training, that's not punishment, that's training, we're going to learn to be saying no to sin and yes to Jesus.
Right. So in other words, the training, instead of it actually being called punishment, you're saying it should be called training, because, like, I'm just trying to understand it. So
absolutely, because that's what the word
say.
That's what the word is in the New Testament. It's in that passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, I think it's verse 6, the NIV uses the word punish. But every other translation says that God is the avenger in such things. Also in Hebrews chapter 12, the NIV says that God is going to punish those he loves. That's the wrong word. He chastises or disciplines us. And that's
right,
totally.
I have heard the chastise.
And that's totally different from punishment. Punishment is an act of justice, looking back on something that is done. Okay, discipline is God's act to train us for something that lies ahead. It is forward looking.
Okay. So in other words. Okay, then let me ask this question. So whether we are saved as far as, like, so whether we've accepted Christ as our Savior or not, whatever we choose to do that is not right in God's sight, is he still training us, whether we're whether we've accepted Christ or not? If we do wrong, then he's training us, not necessarily punishing us. Is that what it is to say?
Well, Opal, for somebody that is lost, has never come to Christ by faith, the message to that person is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. So we have good news that we can take to those who are lost and dead in sin, that because of the work of Christ, God isn't counting those sins against that that person. He's not counting those sins against you. And he wants you to receive his offer of life. See, that's what salvation is. It's being made alive in Christ. And so once we accept Christ, then we've been given a new identity. We're called children of God. God sends his Spirit to live inside of us. And his Spirit is going to start this process of transformation that begins with the renewing of the mind. And as we grow in grace and our minds are renewed, then we start learning to say no to the sins that hung us up before, and yes to the ways of Christ. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm still just a teeny bit unclear then about the training part, because now that I understand what you mean now versus punishment versus training. What I was wondering is that that means I'm under the impression that we don't escape that training even after we become saved if we do something that we knew was already wrong to do in the first place, or even if we did something or we offended.
Well, think of training. I want you to think bigger when it comes to that word training. Don't just tie it to if you do wrong, then God's going to train you or discipline you. Think bigger. God has a goal for you, right? And that goal is to be conformed to the image of his Son, or to experience a harvest of righteousness in your life. That's God's goal for you. So training is God working in and through you to deliver you to that end, okay? That's in good times or bad. That's when we're making great decisions. That's when we're making awful decisions. God's discipline is always there. He's always training us so that we can experience that harvest of righteousness and keep being moved forward by the work of the Spirit to that goal of being conformed to the image of Christ.
Okay, I think I understand it now. I'm thinking like a parent always disciplines their child because they're training them to be that, like, I don't know, I guess the child that they want them to be. So I think that's what, I hope I'm understanding it right.
I think
that's what it sounds like.
I think you're on the right track there, Opal.
Okay.
We sure appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think it'll be a big help to you, okay?
Okay.
You hang on. You hold the line. We'll be right with you.
And Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you can go to the website that we've created just for that, simplegospelsimplygrace.com, and we encourage you to go there.
Well, let's go quickly to Carrollton, Texas, and talk with Karen. Hi, Karen. Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. We just have about a minute. How can we help you?
Well, my question was, as far as sanctification, isn't it basically as we are being conformed to the character of Christ, we're able to see things more through God's eyes than the world's eyes?
Absolutely. And so we see people differently than what we once saw them as. So at one time when we were lost, we probably just looked at people as objects. To get our desires met, but now through the eyes of Christ, we see them as people that cherish love, and so we can treat them differently. So, Karen, I think you are right on the mark with those comments. Appreciate your keen insight.
Thank you for taking my call.
You call again anytime, Karen. God bless.
Absolutely. Friends, I want to remind you that time is running out to receive your copy of Bob Christopher's CD series, Against the Current. Speaking, of course, of the currents of world philosophy and tradition. This offer expires on May 31st, so be sure to make your gift of $20 or more today if you can. Simply click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Of course, that's basicgospel.net, or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Billy will be glad to hear from you and take your order and your gift and get that on the way to you. Again, that's 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with an invitation to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.